Corinthians chapter 13. For those that have joined us via the internet, we appreciate you tuning in. And we had a tremendous response over the internet during the Bible conference. I got a letter this morning from a lady that I've never heard of and don't know her, but she knows us. And she sent us a very generous donation for the tape ministry, for the internet broadcast ministry. And we're very thankful for people that do those kind of things. And I would mention to you that although I will not be here tonight, we will be having our Bible study at 6 p.m. And Brother Paul Allen will be preaching. He's the pastor of Cornerstone Grace Bible Church down in Ringgold, Georgia. And we'll be broadcasting live over the internet at 6 p.m. tonight. So don't stay home. Come on out for Bible study. And for those of you that tune in via the internet, this will be an opportunity to hear somebody perhaps that you've not heard before. Brother Paul's a good teacher, and I appreciate him and his work there in Ringgold and his fellowship in the Word. And I hope you'll tune in tonight at 6 o'clock. Also, we'll be on again Thursday night from Kentucky. We're going to go on a little vacation. Mary and I, we're leaving right after church and going to drive up to spend the night in West Virginia tonight and then drive on up into Ohio and spend 2 or 3 days there, come back down through Kentucky and be there for Bible study on Thursday night, and then home on Thursday. Maybe home on Thursday night, depending on how homesick I am, time I get to Kentucky. But anyway, you pray for the ministry, pray for those to teach, and for the broadcast as well. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, one of the chapters that was mentioned during the Bible conference is the is a chapter about charity. And I don't want to read all of that. Paul is talking about the fact that no matter how much knowledge he had or anything else, let's just read verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And then Paul begins to give the characteristics of this charity here in the Bible. And in verse 12, look in verse 9. He says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, I know there's some debate and discussion on what Paul is talking about when he says there, "when that which is perfect is come." Well, I happen to believe, I personally believe, that what Paul is talking about is the completed Word of God. You understand that Corinthians was written early in Paul's ministry. And Paul was continuing to receive revelation as he continued his ministry, as the Lord told him that he would on the road to Damascus. In Acts 26, Paul said that the Lord said that he was to speak those things wherein he had appeared unto the Apostle Paul, and the things that he would appear. And so I think that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the book of Corinthians, he understood that he had not yet received all the revelation. And by the way, every book that Paul wrote, every letter that Paul wrote, was part of the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. And so we know that during the book of Acts, Paul wrote about 6 books, and after that, the other epistles. And so when Paul says there, in verse 8, he says, "Charity never faileth, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." In other words, Paul had not received all the information that he was going to. But then he says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." In other words, the gifts today of prophecy and all those other gifts that were mentioned back in chapter 12, those gifts were in effect until the completion of the Word of God. And once the Word of God was complete, there was no longer a need. For example, the gift of discernment, the gift of faith, all those things today we have by the Word of God. Because we have the completed revelation of God Almighty. So Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And at that time, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. But there was going to come a time when he said, I shall know even as I also am known. And so today, we have the completed Word of God. We know more today than Paul knew when he wrote this chapter right here. Because we have the complete Word. It came about that Paul knew more as he received further revelation from the Lord, and he wrote those epistles following the book of Acts. Now, all of that I said kind of as an introduction to mention to you today, and some things I want to talk to you about, or what I want to talk to you about, are some things that we can know. Now, you know, there's a lot of times when we have differences about scriptural issues and so forth, and we might discuss those things, might argue over them and so forth, but there's certain things that we can know for sure. And we ought to know those things, and we can know those things by the Word of God. There are absolute facts that never change. And those are the things that we need to understand that we can know. There's a lot of things I don't know. Some things I'm not sure about. But there are some things that I absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know today that I am saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I know that this world is not my home. I know the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was sitting in a pew right back there about where Hayden's sitting, and I heard the gospel preached. I'd heard it over and over again. But that night, I knew for certainty that Christ had died for my sins, and there was no longer any reason for me to try to struggle and figure out when I had been saved or what. I realized my problem was I was trying to figure out what I needed to do, and there was nothing that I could do to be saved. So I know that I'm saved. Why? Because I was there when it happened. I was trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ that night. And if you don't know today that you're saved, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are saved. Say, well, how can I know that? Well, by believing what the Bible says. The Apostle Paul said that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, what is that gospel? Paul tells us what it is in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. He said, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, if the gospel is the power of God to salvation, and Paul tells us what the gospel is, then salvation is trusting in the facts that are presented there in that gospel. Not just quoting it, not just believing the historical facts, but we're talking about fully trusting in what Christ did at Calvary. I know that that is what brings about salvation today. And you and I can know that we are saved by the Word of God. You don't have to worry about it, don't have to doubt it, don't have to fret over it, you can know it. I know today there's a lot of people say, well, there's just no way people can really know that they're saved. It all depends when you get to heaven and God tries you and you wake, you know, one, you're good put on one side and bad on the other. Folks, if that's the case, there ain't nobody got a chance. I should have said a chance in hell, but because that's where they're going to end up being. Come on. I mean, whose good works outweigh their bad? You find the most religious, self-righteous person in the world, and I guarantee you, if you could actually add a weight to it, their bad's going to always outweigh their good. Why is that? Well, look over in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, in Romans 7, In verse 14, several things Paul mentions here that he knows. He says there in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." You were born a sinner, you grew up a sinner, and today, whether you're saved or not, you're still a sinner. If you're saved, you're just a sinner saved by grace. But you never lose that sin nature. You carry it around with you like baggage all of your life. And it's always there, tugging at you, trying to get you to do that which is wrong according to the Word of God. Your sin nature is always present with you. It's because of who we are. "For by one man sin into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Paul said in verse 15, "For that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Now notice what Paul says. "For I know that in me," there's another thing I know. "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Well, you know what, folks? There's a lot of people that don't know that. I've talked to some of them. I've talked to people and ask them if they're saved, and they say, "Well, I believe I'm as good as anybody else." You know, I always say, "You're probably right." How good is that? No good at all. You see, there's a lot of people that believe there is good in people. I've mentioned this several times, how that where I worked, we were always taught that there were no bad people, there was only bad behavior. And I got called down a couple of meetings because I protested that doctrine. I said, "Well, maybe the reason there is bad behavior is because there are bad people." "Oh, no, no, it's all humanistic gibberish. Let's just agree with what the Bible says. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So that's kind of a message of despair. No, because Paul is talking about the flesh. And we know that we're not to lean on the arm of flesh. What Paul's trying to get across here, if you're trying to get to God by pleasing Him through your flesh, no hope. Why? "I know that in me," that is in my flesh, he says, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that do I. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So then I know. He says, "I know." We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. You see, there was nothing wrong with the law. We know that the law is good, Paul said, "if a man use it lawfully." People talk about the law like it was some kind of terrible instrument that God brought about to condemn people. No, there was nothing wrong with the law. The law presents a picture of God's righteous standard. What was wrong was that mankind was unable to keep it. Why? Because of his flesh. When Paul said the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, the lawful use of the law today is to show men that they're sinners. And if you ever run up against somebody that said they don't believe they're a sinner, don't believe they, you know, believe they deserve to go to heaven, just whip out the law. Show them they're in the law, what the Bible says. There is none good. No, not one. And the good which we would do, he says, "for the good I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." We're all confronted with that on a regular basis. Because there's nothing good in our flesh. And that's why it is so important that people understand and realize today that when you're saved, God no longer sees you in your flesh. He sees you in Jesus Christ as perfect, righteous, justified, and holy.
because we are in Him.
By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and we become part of His body, and we become part of Him. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 1. 1 Corinthians 4, 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, I just want to use that phrase there. Obviously, Paul's talking about judgment here, but he says, I know nothing by myself. Now, to make an application of that, I want you to look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that statement, I know nothing by myself, is a statement that will really describe all of lost mankind. In other words, people can learn, they can read the Bible, they can study the Bible, they can learn the history of the Bible. But notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says there in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2, 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, notice now, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? How do you know? How are you able to communicate? How are we able to communicate one with another? Because we have the spirit of man indwelling in us. You see, God formed from the dust of the earth man. He breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. That breath he breathed into man is like the spirit of man. It's that which quickens and makes alive. There's people that teach that man has a dead spirit. Well, if your spirit's dead, you'd be dead. The spirit of man lives in every man. And that spirit, by that spirit, we're able to communicate one with another. Now, notice what he says. He says, we know the things of man. What, verse 11, what, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might, what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What are the spiritual things there? It would have to do with the Word of God. It would have, in other words, think about this. If he says there, and he does, that we know the things of God by the Spirit of God, if that is not the Word of God, then that would mean that God today is continuing to reveal things to people by His Spirit apart from the Word of God. And the sad thing is today is that there are multitudes of people that actually believe that. Men will make statements like, God revealed unto me, or God has shown me this, or God spoke to me. And all that does is put that revelation to them from God
on equal footing with the Word of God. See, people don't stop and think about these things. Well, if God is still revealing Himself to mankind apart from the Word of God, God's Word has never been completed. And yet the Bible says that it is pure and it is perfect. And the Bible says that we're not to add one single word to God's completed word. It's a dangerous thing for people to stand and proclaim that God is revealing to them things apart from the Word of God. Well, then if we know the things of God by the Spirit of God must be revealing them by the Word of God. That's where knowledge comes from. That's the spiritual things. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. We compare Scripture with Scripture as we read and study the Word of God. Now verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we..." Now notice this last phrase. "But we have the mind of Christ." Think about that. You have the mind of Christ. God Almighty saves you, and you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Got an email from somebody the other day, and they were talking about, they were part of a group that some people rejected the idea that the Holy Spirit of God indwells individuals. Well, look back in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, "Now we were not baptized with the Holy Ghost like they were on the day of Pentecost. We were baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. But we are indwelt by the Spirit of God." Look in verse 9 of Romans chapter 8. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." That's how God sealed us. He indwells us. He instructs us by His Spirit through the Word of God. And He sealed us under the day of redemption, and at the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, by the Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Don't ever believe that the Holy Spirit has no ministry during the dispensation of the grace of God. It does have a ministry. It is just not the same ministry as it did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the early part of Acts. And the Spirit, we know nothing by ourselves. We know it by the Word of God. And what the problem is when we start coming up with stuff that we think is right and there's no scriptural basis for it, then there's a problem. And that's where most of religion is today. People write books. I mean, think about every denominational or religious system in this world. And you can go back to somebody that took a doctrine, wrote a book about it, and started another religion. Every one of them has their founder. Now, I know people say, "Well, you rightly dividers do too. It goes back to the 1800s. But listen, folks, I don't care what anybody wrote in a book. I came to understand about rightly dividing the word of truth by reading not a book, but the book. The book. And what's interesting is when you read and study this book, if you do it with an open mind, you can see the truth about rightly dividing the word. You can see that there's a difference in Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel. You don't need a book to tell you that. We know some things. We know nothing by ourselves. We know it by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Paul said, "Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." And today we know the truth for us in the body of Christ is found in Paul's epistles. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse
In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "This know also." Well, then, here's something else we can know. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Well, then, that tells us something. That no matter how much you might hear on TBN or on TV or radio or anywhere else about the coming all worldwide revival and how that people are going to turn to the Lord and how people are bringing in the kingdom. Brother Paul Allen mentioned this last Wednesday night about some people he has communication with, and he says it's amazing that they all believe that somehow they're bringing in the kingdom. Well, if they're bringing in the kingdom, folks, then that means it would be getting better and better and better until it finally is here. Well, we don't find anything like that in Paul's epistles that wrote 13 books, Romans through Philemon in your Bible. What we find are statements like we just read. He said, "This know also." Well, what do we know? That in the last days perilous times shall come. He said that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get any better, folks. And when you look around and see the things that are happening in this country, I doubt seriously that we'll have the religious freedom that we have right now 15, 20 years from now. I don't know. I believe that Paul thought perilous days were there when he was there. And I believe in every age there are perilous times. I mean, think about this. Paul sitting there in prison and daily probably seeing people thrown out into a pit there where lions are released, or they're taken to a place there where they're having their head cut off. I'd say that's pretty perilous. But Paul is even speaking about something more perilous than that. And that was a turning away from the truth. Men being lovers of themselves. We need to know that. And we need to know and understand that the real solution to the world's problems today are not found in men. I mean, we can protest all we want to, and many times it's probably a good thing to have our voices known and to try to affect change so that we might maintain the religious freedom that we have. But far more important than all of that is the salvation of souls that will deliver them from this present evil world in the day when they take that step into the death. You see, sometimes people get so wrapped up in fighting issues and so forth. And I know it's hard. I understand the need for that. There is a need for that. We as saved people ought to try to be a voice of reason and that kind of thing. But above everything else, we need to be sure that people know that this world is not their final destiny. That there is a destiny beyond this world. And unless they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they think this place is bad, they don't know anything. Because every lost person is going to end up in the lake of fire one day. Not because they sinned. Their sins have been paid for. But because they rejected the truth of the gospel. They received not the love of the truth and might be saved. And people need to know and understand that salvation today is a free gift. We know that it is because of the Word of God. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me a prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. In other words, all the things that Paul was suffering was because of what he was doing for Christ's sake and who he was as the apostle to the Gentiles. He said in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There was a day when the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. From that day forward, Paul knew the Lord. Up until that time, he did not know the Lord. Let's look back in Acts chapter 9. It's an amazing thing that here was a Jew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a lawkeeper of the tribe of Benjamin. And in all of that religion that he was in, he didn't know the Lord. And as a matter of fact, when he's on the road to Damascus, in Acts 9:4, he fell unto the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now that's a very important event. That's an important statement. Because when Paul saw the Lord, he recognized the Lord from heaven. It was made known to him. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I can imagine the fear and the awe that the Apostle Paul felt at that point. He said, It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the next verse says, He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And from that point forward, the Apostle Paul, life was centered around what wilt thou have me to do? And he was in constant communication with the Lord. How do I know that? He says, I know whom I have believed. Now here's the picture. I know that we all would think it would be a wonderful thing if the Lord would appear to us in a physical form. It'd be a wonderful thing if we could hear him audibly. But we don't. But you know what? We have, the Bible says, a more sure word of prophecy. We have the completed word of God. We read a moment ago, ye have the mind of Christ. If you know the Lord, then you can know whom you have believed. And it doesn't say in whom. Paul said, For I know whom I have believed. It started there on the road to Damascus. And that day, Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he was introduced to the Lord. And from that day forward, Paul knew whom he had believed. That same Lord is presented and portrayed in the Scriptures. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says, Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. The testimony of the Lord, folks, for us today is found in Romans through Philemon. Now, there was the testimony of the Lord concerning Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Paul said that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. But on the road to Damascus, a rebellious, God-hating Jew, in a sense. He didn't know he hated God. He said he did it ignorantly in unbelief. He thought he was doing God a service. But at that moment, the Apostle Paul met the Lord, and from that point forward, He believed the Lord, and he recorded and wrote down what the Lord gave him. It's called the revelation of the mystery. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And Paul said, For the cause also I suffered. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, what did Paul commit unto him? His eternal destiny. His eternal destiny. That's what we commit unto him when we trust in what he did for us at Calvary. Can you say this morning that I know whom I have believed? Have you believed the record, the written word, the engrafted word that is able to save your soul? Or have you just believed what people said about the word? No, the word of God makes it clear. There's some things that we can know. There's a lot of things we don't know. There's things that we don't know that we will know. But there's some things that we can know. We can know that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And we can know that Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid for every one of them, and will save any person who will simply trust in what he did at Calvary. If you've never done that, today you can know the Lord. And you can know whom you have believed. And you can know God's will by his word. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We have the mind of Christ. Will we use the effort and energy to learn through study, through fellowship around the word, that we might be enlightened and that we might be able to say, I know whom I have believed. If you haven't this morning, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, get in this book and make it a point to be able to share with other people that which you know. If all you know through the Scriptures is that you're saved, tell somebody about that. And God will use that for Christ's sake. Would you stand me for prayer?